Good morning. Welcome in the name of the Lord. It's been a great morning so far already. We've had a sun rising, a moon setting. We had Brad ask Karen to marry him. She said yes. It's been a great day already. Somebody from Payne Ranch has called complaining about the music being too loud already. So mission accomplished. We've raised the dead this morning. Why don't we stand right now for a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that on this morning, a long time ago, dear God, your Holy One, Jesus sent from heaven above, born of a virgin, rose from the dead this day. God died. God raised the Holy Son. Father, we praise you and we lift our voices to you this morning in praise and adoration. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you turn around and greet somebody before you sit down? I'd like to read to you this morning out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. And I want you to meditate, really, as you hear the hearing of the Word of God in your ears. Put yourself back some 1,959 years ago on a Sunday morning while it was yet dark. Matthew chapter 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. But the angel of the Lord said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord laid. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I'm going to jump over quickly to Luke's Gospel, verse 24, and read another evangelist account of the same event. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, amen, right? They and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about these things, that behold, two men stood by them in shining apparel. Then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, but on the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen cloths lying there by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. People, this morning, we are here because of one story, one message, and one message only. That Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. That God came in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. And that in his life, he showed us the redemptive work that God had planned. That man had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that in Jesus Christ and in his coming, Jesus would undo the curse that was upon mankind. And this morning celebrates the greatest day in the history of the world. And it will always shine forth as the greatest day in the history of eternity. The Bible tells us that when we go before God in heaven, that we will see the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as though he had been slain for the sins of the world. People, this morning we celebrate not a Buddha, not a Confucius, not a Mohammed. You can visit their tombs today. The Messiah that we worship this morning is none other than Emmanuel, God among us. His tomb is empty this morning, for he is risen and he's alive. Now, people, our hearts find it difficult this morning, just as it was back then, nearly 2,000 years ago. Even his own disciples marveled. They doubted, as we read. Some even said among themselves, "This is idle tales. How can this be?" And it's always been the case. Within our hearts and within your heart this morning is that question always. What will happen to me if I die? Why am I here? What's the reason of all this? And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ took away the curse of death. That through one man's death, Jesus Christ, we might have the resurrection of life forevermore. Do you have faith in Christ this morning? We're not talking works. We're not talking putting money in an offering. We're not talking about praying all day, all night. We're not talking about going door to door or perspiration, sweat, works. We're talking about a message that says man cannot save himself, but in Jesus Christ, there's salvation through faith. And you say, and I say, man, that's too easy. God, how can these things be? The Bible foretold, listen, the Bible foretold thousands of years in advance every movement of this man Jesus before he was ever born. How do you reconcile that? His death. It says that he would be pierced through his hands and his feet 740 years before the event ever happened. Crucifixion was non-existent at that time. Yet Jesus dies upon a cross. Isaiah tells us that a virgin would give birth to the Messiah and that his name would be called Emmanuel, which translated means God is among us. And when Thomas, after resurrection, the great doubter, you know his middle name was Thomas Didymus, and you kind of slow down that middle name of his, did he miss? What was he missing? The guy missed everything. He was a doubter. And he said, like many of you this morning say, unless I put my fingers through the holes, he says in the Greek, in the original. He says, if I cannot put my fingers through the holes of his hands and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Hey, join the club. Don't we all feel that way at times? Maybe you're outside of Jesus this morning. Maybe you do not have God living in your life. And you say, you know what? I won't believe. If God is God, I want to see him right now. I'll give him 5 minutes. Somebody said that to Billy Graham on the University of Harvard campus there. Billy Graham was preaching about the resurrection of Christ. And this philosophy student, of course, came up and said, if God is God, let him strike me dead. I'm giving him 5 minutes. If he's real, have him show me. And Billy Graham, in a great moment of wisdom, says, do you think you can exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes? I like that. Hey, listen. You can live your life, all the days of your life, with a question, what is? Why me? What am I? What's the end? When I die, what happens? And by the way, you will pay income tax, and you will die. What will you do in the moment of your departure from this earth? Do you know for a fact that if you die, you'll be in the presence of God, saved forevermore? That when he sees your face in heaven, he'll say, come on in. Do you have that peace in your heart? The Bible says that these things were written that we may know that we have eternal life. Do you know that? People, I'm not asking you to come to Calvary Chapel. I'm not asking you to go to church anywhere. I'm asking you to believe in the resurrected Son of God. And you might say, I believe. The book of James tells us that it's not enough to believe in God in his existence. The Bible says that the demons believe in God and they tremble at the thought of God, yet they are not saved. You must believe in Christ. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he rose from the dead. And you say, man, I have my doubts. That's pretty heavy. Listen, God will never reject an honest doubter, ever. But he will, the Bible says, reject a person who rejects him. In your heart, there's a witness within you that Christ is real. God exists. You don't know this, but for weeks we've been praying for weather clear enough. You know, it's been foggy, overcast. We've been praying for clear skies, and because of Matthew 28, where there was a great earthquake, we've been asking for an earthquake. Some of you out there, no earthquake. Hey, listen. There are accidents that happen in life. There's tragedies. What is your life built on? Have you held the reins of your life? Maybe you're like the way I used to be. Lift weights, get all buffed, you know. Pump iron, be a dude. And start to make a little bit of money and realize, you know, I don't really need anybody but me. In fact, I'm the only one I can think about. And then God comes into your life through a tragedy or through speaking to you, and you begin to wonder and then test the things that you're hanging on to. These are days of economic turmoil. According to the Bible, I don't want to bum you out this morning, it's a great day of celebration. But according to the Bible, the days are going to get worse. Oh boy, I got up early to hear that. Listen, it depends on what your foundation is built upon. You know, us Christians, we're kind of cynical, I guess. We see days getting worse and we go, all right, things are really moving now. The end is near. And people say, man, how morbid. What a fatalistic attitude. No, you know what? You don't know the story. The Bible says that just as Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, in Acts chapter 1 it says, the angel speaking to the followers of Christ, the angel said, hey, what are you standing around gawking at him for? Get to work! Because in the same way that you've seen Christ rise, he's coming again to take those that are his away. Jesus says that before he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? And I ask you this morning, will He? Will God find faith in your heart when Jesus Christ returns? The Bible says that there will be the trumpet of God that will blast, and globally, those who are absolutely trusting in Him. Listen, you want a fairy tale? This is a fairy tale. We will be caught up into the air and meet God in the air, those who believe in Him, and will never be on this earth until Jesus reigns. You'll say, those are idle tales. What a crazy story. Listen, the Bible has yet to fail. It hasn't a mistake. Well, wait a minute. My mom told me that you can't believe everything in there. Listen, my mom told me there was a Santa Claus. Listen, God's word has not failed. And there's people, there are millions of Christians meeting around the world this morning, around the world this day, proclaiming the news that Christ is risen, just as the ancient prophecies spoke about. And they came to pass exactly as God had said. And we're talking about specific prophecies, not some vague thing. It speaks of Jesus hanging on the cross and they stripped Him naked. And He would have a garment, but they wouldn't tear it. And it says that He would be crucified between two thieves, and He was. And the fact of the matter is this morning, as the sun rises and as the moon sets, where are you with Jesus? Is God reigning in your heart? Do you have a personal relationship with Christ Jesus? I'm not talking religion, people. I'm talking about knowing Him. He's real. He's alive. We got up this morning, 2 o'clock. People were setting up. People were in prayer. Look, the bottom line is this. We may get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go out to the river to take our boats and plop them in the water or go snow skiing. But to come out for a church service, you got to be crazy. The fact of the matter is, if you're stuck in religion, that is a hard thing to do. If it's a relationship, Jesus can call on us any time of the day. Because when my lover awakens me in the night, I listen to His word. You listen to His word. You shoot up an offering to heaven. Oh God, I don't understand the financial problems. Lord, I don't understand my health problems. God, I need Your direction in my life. And Jesus whispers songs in the night to your heart. Trust in Me. I have taken away your sin. You are Mine. Cast all of your cares upon Me, for I careth for you, says the Bible. Do you have that peace in your life? The peace that passes all understanding? Jesus is real. He has risen from the dead. When tragedies hit, where do you go? You know, our hearts can really relate to the apostles and those with them. It was Sunday morning. Jesus had been dead for 3 days. It was dark. It says in the Bible that very early, before it was daylight, the women had prepared the embalming fluids. They didn't get that opportunity earlier. And they went. Now listen, for them to do that, that means they were up all night. They got there in the dark. They couldn't sleep. They were weeping. They were mourning. And they go. And some of your hearts this morning, some of your souls are vexed, and you would never admit it because we're too macho of a society to say, I hurt. And we buy ourselves flashy cars. We wear flashy clothes. We get a bigger house on the hill as a big Band-Aid, and we say inside, man, I hurt. And we put all of these things over our lives, and yet down deep, after you've made $1 million and after you have all of these things, you say, what if I die? What's on the other side? People, Jesus has paid the price so that you would know the answer to that. You don't have to sit in darkness. You can come to Him. You can have all of your questions answered. And when questions come up in your heart, you can take them to the cross. There's times when God says, you must suffer now, or you must go here, or you must go there. Listen, just between us, because it's only us here. I was studying for 4 days for this morning, and I got all my notes. And this morning at about 2:20 this morning in my office, God says, throw them away. Have you noticed I haven't looked down? Throw them away. I want to speak. And I said, oh, Lord, man, that takes faith. You guys were singing and listening to the songs. I'm back there shaking. Listen, the Lord loves you. Have you not heard the message? Have you not heard the gospel that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden enjoyed fellowship with God, and God had engineered in them the ability to choose? You cannot have worship without choice. And He put within the ability to choose, and they chose to disobey, and they walked away from God. And God wrote through His prophets, read my love letter, understand. And as we read the Bible, we come to realize that after the fall, God engineered a plan that Christ would come, and if they looked forward to the Messiah coming, they would be saved. And we look back some 1,959 years ago this morning, we look back and we say the Messiah came. He saved us from our sin. You know, that takes a really big person this morning to admit within their heart, I have sinned. Go, man, that's not a positive message, Jack. You know what? Hear the whole story. To have glory, you must first own up to your shame. To go to heaven, you must first be on earth. To experience life, you must first experience death. We're talking eternal life here. And the bottom line is this. If you can acknowledge in your heart this morning, I have broken the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Are you kidding? I had a bunch of gods before God. I had my car. I had my money. I had girls. I had these things. Oh, boy, I worshiped them. And God says, worship me. God says, don't covet. If you covet another man's wife, house, donkey, it says in the Bible. We don't have donkeys right now. Maybe some of you Chino people have donkeys. I understand that. We've got cows. Fred's here. He's got all his cows. Hey, listen. You're not to covet your neighbor's husband or your neighbor's wife, the Bible says, or his Benz or his Lexus instead of a donkey. We've all coveted. The Bible says that you shall not commit adultery. Hey, Jesus said that if you look at a woman and think of her in your mind, you have committed adultery and you're guilty of the entire law. And you go, oh boy, what do I do? And people, that's the reason for the law of God, to bring us to the point to say, what do we do? I've blown these things. I've gone over 55, okay? Now what do I do? Well, you pay the price. You check your pockets. You stand before God in your heart and you go, I can't pay it. I can't pay the debt. And God says, that's why I sent my Son, to step in and to pay the price for you. Trust in Him and thou shalt be saved. Jesus paid the debt that we couldn't pay. Is that good news? Are you guys okay? In a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity. Number one, for you to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Yes, I know it sounds simple. You know what? God is a lot simpler than what we think. He's created a flower and the blade of grass out here that lines the baseball field. People, we can send men in spaceships 27,000 miles out into space in a tin can. and we say, awesome. And we have yet been able to make a blade of grass. God is the engineer. And He has engineered in your heart the place for you to love Him and to know Him. Listen, we'll end with this. Some of us here have loved ones that have gone on to glory. And this morning, do you have the hope of resurrection yourself? Will you see them in heaven? I'm going to see Jesus in heaven. I invite you to come with me and so many others here this morning. Do you want to see your spouse or your friend, your mom or your dad again, who went on to glory if they believed in Jesus Christ? Then you need to say yes to Christ and say, I'll live for Him. I'll walk after Him. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask You now that You would move upon the hearts of Your people here. There are some this morning that their hearts have been pricked. They don't have that peace. They don't know that peace. Father, I ask You, Lord, that You would challenge them now, that as they begin another day, that they would give their life to Jesus this day and make it not only the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, but the resurrection of their own life from the dead. Father, we ask now that You'd move. And Father, if there's anyone here that they were a Christian and they are a Christian, but they've walked away from You, may they recommit their lives to You, Father, as this morning reminds them that Christ is soon coming. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you raise your hand? Wherever you are, raise your hand high and say, yes, I'd like to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be born again. Anyone? Raise your hand. Anyone? You want Jesus to take away your sins? You feel an uncomfortable tweaking in your heart, and you're not sure what that feeling is. That's the Holy Spirit of God saying to you that you need to be ready because you're not ready right now, and you need to acknowledge Christ. Jesus said that every person that would acknowledge Him before men, He would acknowledge them before His Father in heaven. If you deny Me, He said, then I will deny you before My Father in heaven and all of His holy angels. Anyone would say yes to Jesus, raise your hand. Father, we ask You, Lord God in heaven, that You would touch our hearts. And that, Father, for those of us who have claimed Christ as our Savior and that we believe in Him, that You have given us eternal life and the hope of heaven. And we thank You for that. Lord, we worship You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.